The good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. The good news is that when we recognize and are convicted that we're sinners, we can turn, change our minds, and turn to him for deliverance from the wrath to come, for forgiveness of sins.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the passage we're considering is an encouraging portion of Scripture.
Indeed, David, is if we're willing to listen and we're willing to respond. So with this in mind, what are we talking about? Well, let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 18 and we'll find out.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Now, in the book of Romans, the Lord is making the case that the righteous by faith shall live. That's the case. That's the righteous, those who receive righteousness by faith will live. That's Romans. But first of all, you need to recognize you are unrighteous. Chapter 1, the pagan is unrighteous. Chapter 2, the religious person, as exemplified by the Jews, are unrighteous also. There are none righteous, not even one. Even though you might be a religious Jew, you had all the benefits of the word, you're still unrighteous apart from faith in Jesus. And he says in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, and we know, speaking of we as Jews at that point, that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things, talking about the evil in chapter 1. And do you suppose this, O man, that when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? He's saying to those religious Jews that aren't saved, hey, you point your finger at the Gentiles, but you do the same thing. Do you suppose you're going to escape it? And so he says here, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Wonderful verse. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance and doing good seek for the glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now, you say, oh, it's doing the law. No, he's talking in this context about your actions are going to reflect who you truly know, because he's going to talk about faith in chapter 4, and that it's through faith in Jesus that we are declared righteous. So then, back in our passage, the righteous will live, but the sinning soul will die. Verse 20, the person whose sins will die, the son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself. The wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. Our passage affirms the fact that every soul is responsible for their own iniquity. Again, back in verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins will die. So at this point, we have a beautiful promise and an illustration. Look at verse 21. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins, which he's committed, and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live and not die. All his transgressions, verse 22, which he has committed, will not be remembered against him. Isn't that great? Because of his righteousness, which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? This is a tremendous passage to see the heart of God. You see, there's hope for the sinner. There's hope for you and I. There's hope for the wicked. There's hope for those who are entrenched in their sin, in which we all were in some level, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What a gracious God. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and observes my statutes, practice justice and righteousness, he shall surely live, he shall not die. In contrast to bearing the punishment for your sin, there's life if you are righteous, as we'll see. Righteous as manifest by your actions. You see, we see here repentance. And repentance, the word here in the Old Testament, shuv, means to turn. In the New Testament, metanoia means to change your mind. And this idea is changing your mind so as to turn. You know, and I give this example. If I have planning to go to Walmart, but I change my mind that I want to go to Home Depot, if I truly change my mind, I'm going to go to Home Depot. If I haven't changed my mind, I'll keep going to Walmart. There's going to be a change based on a change of mind. It's called repentance. You see, we've seen here in this context that the transgressions which this man who was sinful, who turned, which is going to, will not be remembered against him. Middle of 22. Will not be remembered. That's forgiveness. You see, they will not be remembered because of his righteousness. Now, this implies in reverse, as we see in other scriptures, that your sin is held against the unrepentant sinner. You see, again, the wages of sin is death. Now, it goes way beyond physical death. You see, it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. And the Lord Jesus made it clear that there is a day of judgment. He says, I say to you, every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Matthew 12:36. The reality is, everyone will be judged for their deeds. Now you see this in the book of Ecclesiastes. After Solomon says it's when all is said and done, he says the conclusion is this, chapter 12, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. And praise the Lord, when we believe in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. That we are no longer condemned. We're no longer under a condemning judgment. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Yes, we'll be judged for our deeds in the body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but that's for rewards, not in relationship to sin. And so here, but there is a judgment. I read it back in chapter 2 of Romans. There's the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul says to the wise guys in Greece, he says here, Acts 17:30, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. And why? Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. The reality is there will be a judgment. We see it in Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment, where everyone who's not been redeemed by Jesus Christ will stand before him. Everyone whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life will stand before him, and they'll be judged. And the result is, this is the second death, they'll be thrown in the lake of fire. The wages of sin is death. Jesus said in John 8:24, I say therefore to you, you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You see, the good news is that we can have our transgressions forgiven and thus forgotten, not remembered. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. The good news is that when we recognize and are convicted that we're sinners, we can turn, change our minds, and turn to him for deliverance from the wrath to come, for forgiveness of sins. It's wonderful. We have a wonderfully gracious God. You see, if you turn to Jesus, you will live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Tremendous, wonderful reality. We see the pagan idolaters in Thessalonica turned from their idolatry. They turned because they recognized they would be judged for their sin. They needed a Savior, and they turned to Jesus. It's not that we can stop sinning to be saved. We turn to him to deliver us from our sins. We acknowledge it's sin, and we believe in him that he'll forgive us and that he'll change us. He says that For they themselves, speaking of Thessalonians, report about what kind of reception we had with you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Praise the Lord. And we know that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. That's why he's continually reaching out to these Jews before he judges them, that they would turn, as he'll say. He will not strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever, Psalm 103. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens, and they would have this psalm, by the way, are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, guess what? You think about that illustration. If you go north, you'll eventually go south. If you go east, you'll never go west. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. We have forgiveness of sins. When we were dead in our transgression of sins, even as alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions, having canceled that certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us which were hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Colossians 2:13. Tremendous. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. You see, the soul that sins will die, but there is life through faith in Jesus Christ. So back to our passage, verse 22. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Praise the Lord. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. And then notice we have a picture into the heart of God, verse 23. This is a tremendous, tremendous verse that throws all kinds of man-centered and man's reason on its head. Man-centered theology just takes it and rips it apart. This is a verse many don't want to read because it destroys their theological paradigm. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, verse 23, declares the Lord God, rather that he should turn from his ways and live? Wow, what a tremendous statement. God does not rejoice and get joy in the wicked dying in their sins and going to judgment. He does not take any pleasure in that at all. His desire is that they would turn and live. You know, the reality is, in Psalms 116, 15, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his godly ones. When a believer dies, it's precious in his sight. When a non-believer dies, he takes no pleasure in that. And we have these theologies out there that take, for instance, election, which is true, and places it over every other doctrine and twist the word around and tries to fix it into a box by man's reason rather than looking at the truth of God, which says he doesn't take any pleasure, but rather that they should turn from his ways and live. This is a warning that we do not stretch doctrine by human reason so far that we cause it to contradict the very truths about the person of God. That's very serious. He says here, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? That's the heart of our God. What does Peter say in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll read it for you. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise. And they were mockers were saying, hey, when's he coming in judgment? When does he just say it's, everything's the same, nothing's changed? Well, he's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You know, people say, my God, how can a God allow these horrible things to happen to kids or whatever it might be? And they're horrible things. How could he allow sin to happen? Well, if he intervened, he would have to judge. And right now it is the day of salvation, and he is patient, but his judgment day will come. So I don't understand how this works with the doctrine of election. I don't understand that, but that he desires all to repent. But I believe it, because it's true. So I want to take what God says and leave it there and not use my reason, human reason, by the way, and lean on my understanding to resolve things that are not resolvable. So then, God calls upon man to repent. That's what it is, that rather he would turn and live. turning would be as we saw at the Thessalonians. They turned to God from us. They heard the good news and they believed. Their faith was broadcast throughout Macedonia. They believed that Jesus was the one. They heard the word of God, and Paul rejoiced in chapter 2 that they took it as the word of God and not the word of man. The word of God which performs its work in you. And I mentioned this in Acts chapter 17, that God declares to all men everywhere that they should repent. Because it's a judgment day. That's why you repent, because there's judgment for sin. Repent and be saved. The Lord Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, shared with those dejected disciples and then the disciples together, after he went with them on the road to Emmaus and they went back to Jerusalem, and he shared with them. He said to them back in Jerusalem, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things written about me, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Does God take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? He's a just, holy God, and he will judge sin, no doubt about it. And he will bring forth his wrath and retribution upon sin. And he is a God who has indignation every day, and wrath is piling up. But he's a gracious, wonderful God. He doesn't take pleasure in that. Precious in his sight of the death of his godly ones. Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, said, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, and John had been taken into custody, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn in your mind from your view about things and believe what God has said. And if you truly believe what he said, then you're going to call out upon him for salvation, because you're in deep trouble because he's judging. But he will save you if you believe in him. You see, my friend, sin is your problem. And God does not desire to send you to hell, a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. His desire is that you would repent. And today's the day of salvation, so turn and believe in the Lord Jesus. God, who took on human flesh and bore our sins in his body on the cross, paid the full penalty. Turn to him. God is long-suffering towards sinners. I think we're not so long-suffering. Yes, we want their wicked to cease, and we get confused there. We need to be praying for their salvation as long as they're still breathing. And that their wicked would be restrained and judged if they don't turn, right? So friend, would you repent before it's too late? Because he has fixed a day in which he'll judge the world through the man having furnished proof by raising him from the dead. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather than he should turn and live? So then, as we finish up, notice we see the core of their objection reiterated, and God's going to rip it to shreds as he has. Verse 25, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Here's really what's going on. They're using a little proverb to kind of subtly blame God, but now here's what's really happening. They're saying, the way of the Lord is not right. Well, that's blasphemy. Notice the Lord responds, middle of 25, hear now, O house of Israel. It is emphatic. Is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? That's the reality. And do you want proof? Look at 26. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. A sinning soul will die. And notice another illustration. And again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life, because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions which he committed. He will surely live. He will not die. We see again, we have the illustration of the soul that sins will die, but the one who repents will live. Does God take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather that he should turn from his ways and live. And notice the conclusion here, verse 29. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his what? Conduct. His judgment. Your deeds. He says or declares the Lord, repent and turn away from all your transgressions so that iniquity may not become a ceiling block to you. Repent. And notice he talks about how to do this. Cast away from you all your transgressions that you committed and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. So here he's talking about cast your sin, which is repentance. You need to see it rightly from God's perspective, convicted about it, turn to the Lord. He says, make yourself here. He says, a new heart and a new spirit. Well, what's he talking about? A new heart and a new spirit. Well, he's talked about it before. He's talked about it in chapter 11. Turn back to chapter 11. He's talking about the new covenant, Jeremiah chapter 31. He's talking about the covenant that he would make through the person of Jesus Christ by his blood, a covenant in which they would be his people. He would be their God, a covenant in which he would write the law on their hearts, a covenant in which he would remember their sins no more. Ezekiel 11:17. Therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries you have been scattered. I will give you back your land of Israel again. They will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. God gives a new heart. And look up to chapter 36, Ezekiel 36. And I mentioned this. This parallels what we see in the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you the heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you. Notice that. This is in the Old Testament, speaking of the future for Israel, right? And move you to follow my decrees, and you be careful to keep my laws, and you will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be a people, and I will be your God. You see, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you his spirit, a new heart. A heart that is changed, that has a desire to obey. Yes, we still fail and we confess because we grieve over it, but a desire to obey. A heart in which the word is written on it by the Spirit of God. And so repent and turn from all your transgressions. Turn to the Lord Jesus. You see, it's through what he did that brought about the forgiveness of sins. For I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. There was a rich man and a man named Lazarus the Lord talked about. And the rich man died and opening his eyes up in Hades in torment. Right? And later on, he'd be petitioning to Father Abraham, figuratively speaking of God, send Lazarus back to warn my brothers. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. For they're not going to be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. The word of God is what God uses to convict you of sin and your need for a Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Turn and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and trust in him. For why would you die? For he takes no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Well, my friend, you've heard the truth today. The reality that there is judgment for sin. The soul that sins will die, and we know that it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. But oh, the good news, as we've heard, is that Jesus Christ went to the cross,
God took on human flesh and he went to the cross and bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the full penalty for our sin and he died for our sins and rose from the dead. So my friend, today would you turn to Jesus? Would you turn to him and call upon him for salvation, believing that he paid the penalty for your sins? For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you call upon Jesus today?
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our New Believers Packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your New Believers Packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.